Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 281. I'm your host, James Gilmore, and joining me today is Peter Wellington.
Hi.
And Harry Slater.
Hello. Hello, Mr. James. Hello, hello. Mr. Peter.
Or as he is now known, the Prince of Reviews.
It's true. I've got business cards.
I hope to see them soon. Although
they're made out of shurikens.
To be fair, the only person who I've heard refer to you as the Prince of Reviews is you,
I think, so far. You just did as well.
Damn, ooh. That's self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh my god. Yeah, but, okay, it must be official.
Okay, but that's fine, because now it's only James and you, Harry, who's referred to you as the Prince of Reviews.
See, it's catching on. It's catching
on. Oh no! Wait. Yeah, you did.
Oh. I'm gonna get like a crown made, not a full crown because I'm not a king, but small one, like a there's a word for it, not
a tiara.
No, not tiara.
Well, more than
you've
a
been
tiara.
Watching Frozen, haven't you? You want to sing like what's her name, Elsa?
Don't get me started, because I will just sing the entire podcast. I've got a guitar. I know an E chord and an E minor chord.
Oh, let it go, Harry.
Yeah, just let it go. That's so weak. Plague Inc. is going to be updated with some stuff to do with Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, of the film that has apes, but not the Planet of the Apes. Apes. What apparently you'll be able to do in it is simulate the spread of the disease. This is what Harry said. I'm reading your words now, Harry. And see if you can do the same thing that the monkeys did. Not monkeys, apes. Sorry, don't want to make that mistake. Because in the movie, at the end of the first movie, The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, it shows the virus spreading all over the map. The virus that makes monkeys smart and people dead. Or whatever it is. And I assume this new update is allowing you to use the smart apes to apparently smash up research labs and make apes the dominant species on the planet.
Yeah.
Has anyone had a bash at this?
It's only a game, though. It's not real.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So it's not. Peter looked a bit worried. I was a bit, you know. There's no actual really super intelligent apes.
Oh, right. Okay. I was blurring the line between fantasy and reality just then.
Apparently, so was the director of the movie, who said that he saw that outro sequence I just mentioned, and apparently it served as inspiration for Plague Inc. because it literally shows a map on the screen with the disease traveling via like aircraft and stuff and spreading over the planet. So now apparently it's perfectly fitting that the film franchise should be on board with the update. Apparently it's coming soon to iOS and Android. Don't know exactly when, but we'll keep you updated when it does. Land. Also, Angry Birds Go Peter! This is the second or third week in a
I'm
row,
so
I think it is.
So yeah. Excited.
Finally, as the title says right here, multiplayer. That thing that it should have been there always, no?
Mm-hmm.
But who cares? Better late than never. It's finally been updated, at least on the iOS version, with the first part of the game's multiplayer mode. Apparently, to race against other people, you'll need to obtain a Piggy Island driver's license. Peter, have you got your driver's license yet?
I do indeed. Obtaining the license is as easy as just saying, would you like to download additional data? Yes. Okay, now what picture do you want to use? And this is the first part of the multiplayer, isn't
it? Apparently there are going to be extra bits added. So, Monrovia says there'll be another update with more, but they don't say what that more is.
Well, I imagine it will be actual competitive multiplayer, because
Hang on. What's this then?
What they've added is time trials. Like, it's ghost racing.
Oh, for goodness
and
sake.
And it's not even really ghost racing. It's like that real racing stuff where you can still knock into opponents and
they carry on in a straight line.
And then carry on. I tried it out earlier and I had one race and I came like last immediately, even though I've put, no joke, like coming up on 30 hours into that thing.
Yeah, you played this game more than a sane person should.
Came last by a country mile.
Oh.
Yeah, bit underwhelming.
Okay, right, fine. So we're still waiting for that multiplayer update then. The proper one, which lets you do multiplayer.
Yeah.
Moving on! No. Right, okay, so if you haven't got Rayman Fiesta Run yet, first of all, shame on you, because it's really, really, really good. And secondly, go and get it now, because you can get it for free. Now, you wrote the story up as well, Harry. I'm hoping it'll still be available on the Friday when the podcast goes out, but there's a little trick, a sneaky trick you can do. Explain to the people the sneaky trick, Harry.
You go to a website that I've forgotten the URL of, and then you click on a thing and you get it for free.
That's the best. Okay, so you go to the Expedia Media Lounge website.
That's the one.
That's the one. You scroll down and you'll see a little icon. Tap on the icon, which says Rayman Fiesta Run, and you'll be able to get a promo code that will give you the game for absolutely nothing. Go to pocketgamer.co.uk and look at the story that Harry's put up there. You can direct link through to that place. Go and get your free game because it's really good and you should really get it. It's proper fun. It's better than the first one even, I would say. And yeah, get on that immediately. And finally, Hitman Go, which was that board game-esque interpretation of the Hitman series, which works really, really well on iPad, has received its first update, which has brought the, what is it, airport box, it's called, which gives you an entire new chapter, according to your thing, and a few new mechanics too. So as well as the basic stuff that you can do, which is jumping around and using a sniper rifle and hiding in ferns, very important that, I like that bit of the game. There is now a civilian mode, which apparently makes you stay undercover until you perform your first move. So the idea is, I guess, you just stay out of eyeshot.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that. I didn't know what it was talking about.
I think in the game, what happens is you're wandering around, and in civilian mode, you just hold the back of your head so you can't see the barcode on the big, tall, bald man.
Is that what it is? You just walk around whistling.
He could have a hood.
Oh, as a hood as well.
A hood would, because like that, doing that all the time is a bit weird.
Yeah. Mm. They call it the Ezio update, because you throw up a hood and you walk like slowly and you push past people like you're doing a sort of breaststroke front crawl thing. That's what he does, doesn't he? Because it looks really, really unsubtle. Apparently, you can also do things like skip a turn, which means that you can wait for the target to reach the right place before jumping into them, which before you had to just keep moving like backwards and forwards between two points if you wanted to wait for someone to turn up, which is quite good. This is a free to download chapter, but if you haven't got to that point of the game yet, because you do have to play through in order to unlock it, if you don't want to play and you want to unlock it early, you can do so with a 69 pence or 99 cents IAP. But I'd say don't and play through it, because it's really good. And there's no reason not to pay for it, and frankly, no reason not to play through it. Go and get all those right now. Here's some news. So then, Peter, you've been playing The Witcher Battle Arena.
I have.
A free-to-play MOBA that is coming out for iOS and Android at some undetermined point in the future.
Yes. Also, on Windows Phone. Windows Phone alert. What? Windows Phone alert. Yeah, we just found out that it's Windows Phone as well.
Misery loves company.
All those four people can enjoy that as well.
Fantastic. What's this all about then? Seeing as you've actually played it and done a lovely hands-on, which you can go and read on pocketgamer.co.uk right now,
ooh,
what's it all about?
Well, it's all about being characters from The Witcher and also The Witcher 2, subtitle I've forgotten. Assassins of Kings. Being in an arena and fighting other characters from the Witcher universe. MOBA, if you don't know what the acronym is a multiplayer online battle arena, and it's a lot like League of Legend, or LOL, as the cool people call it.
That is.
Or Dawn of the Ancients, or Dota, as other cool people call it. So MOBAs are like big news on iPad and iPhone at the moment. Like they're becoming like bigger and bigger and bigger.
A bunch of them are turning up. Yeah, it's weird.
And this is one set in the Witcher universe. It doesn't really make sense in the grand scheme of the Witcher sort of pantheon, I suppose, like the narrative. And I'm told that by CD Projekt that very tactfully that it doesn't affect The Witcher 3 or any of the other Witcher games or the books or whatever in any way whatsoever. It's kind of like a Gaiden side story where some of the characters get together and have big fights over something or other.
So it's strictly non-canon then?
Yeah, it is canon. It's set in the universe, okay. But it doesn't affect anything. It's like, basically the way they get away with it is it's set in the universe, but they go into like a space that can't be touched by time or other people, and
sounds like an instance in a Memorpaga.
Yeah, it is exactly that. And you pick a character, and each character plays a specific way, and you have to figure out how each of those characters plays. So I was playing as like a dryad person.
Okay.
And you have different spells, which kind of have cooldowns, so you launch it, and then like it takes a little while to use again, and then normal attacks, and you have to capture individual points in an arena, and once you've captured all 3 points from the opposing team, the 500 points that that team has starts to tick down. If they reach zero, then you win. So it's very much a traditional Dota idea, but the CD Projekt people are really keen to stress that it's like, this is their big play for mobile. Like, they don't want to do The Witcher on mobile. They want to do something in The Witcher universe that's a bit different. So, I don't know. I don't think it will really massively appeal to people who want a Witcher game, but it might well appeal to people who want to play another MOBA. And it's as good as any other. I mean, it's months and months away from release, and it was pretty good when I played it. The UI's a bit clunky, but...
Well, it's telling us so far, according to your piece, that you got up to 6 players who can play online at any one time. And it's got cross-platform multiplayer. So presumably you're talking about iOS to Android. Is there going to be like a browser version or something like that, or is it just mobiles at the moment?
So iOS, Android, and they were the two that were confirmed when I talked with them. I assume that that will work on Windows Phone as well. I pressed about a PC version, and they gave me a sort of like, we're not talking about that at the moment, wink, nod, it's totally gonna happen, like
one of those.
Yeah,
it's good that it's got cross-platform multiplayer, because otherwise Windows Phone gamers wouldn't be able to have a full game, because there's only four of them, isn't he?
So cold, Harry, and
so mean
and true. Well, there you go. So if you, like, you've played it and got an actual proper hands-on, how did the combat handle? Was it a very involved thing, or was it very quite tappy-tappy, auto-lock-on stuff?
It's definitely auto-lock-on stuff. The best thing about it is that the arenas are small enough so that you get straight into combat all the time, but they're big enough so that you can have a breather if you really need it.
Right.
It's a very streamlined upgrade progress, and the more that you upgrade weapons and items and that sort of thing, the more powerful your attacks become. Some of the special moves are really cool. Like, there's one, the one that I had, like, I shot out, like, these barbed vines, and then you can draw a path on the actual map as to where you want those vines to go, so you can actually trap other players in an area for a certain amount of time. Uh-huh. So, like, each skill that you have has a different function and has multiple functions that you can use it for. It's fine. It's good. And, like I say, it's a few months out, so it'll only get better.
I assume free to play?
Oh, yes.
Okay, all right, then. So you'll be able to do the standard bulk up your characters and whatnot with a few sneaky in-app purchases, yeah?
Yeah.
Right on. Okay, cool. Well, something to look forward to. You say months out at the time being. As soon as there is a confirmed release date, we'll obviously let you know. But if you want to read the full story, of which there is a fairly hefty one, go and check it out on the site at the moment. So Witcher Battle Arena. Go and have a look. Also, a quick one for Vita owners, if you happen to be of the Vita persuasion. Ratchet & Clank HD Trilogy is now out to European Vita owners. Originally, it's been launched at $19.99, but apparently, we have the inside scoop on how to get a cheaper version of it. Apparently, the trilogy is currently on sale on the PS3 store for £14.99, which is, I guess, about $19. And if you're a PS Plus member, you can get it for £13.50. Which is a nice, decent shaving off the £20 chunk. Now, we haven't... Have we reviewed the US version of this one yet? I'm not 100% sure.
We haven't been sent it. Read into that what you will.
Okay. So, right. As I understand it, it is a HD retooling of the pre-existing 3 Ratchet & Clank games, right? Which all have slightly pervy names.
Yeah, like Age of Boot... Oh, was that a later one?
That was
Age
a later
of Booty.
One. You've got Ratchet & Clank. Ratchet & Clank going commando.
Don't touch me there.
No. Well, it might as well be, actually. One's called Up Your Arsenal.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, and the other one's called Going Commando. They were all PS3 releases. Well, no, hang on. They weren't. They were PS2 releases, mostly,
PS2
weren't
releases,
they?
Yeah.
Then they were released on PS3 in 2012, and now they're coming out on the Vita, and you can get them all. Or you can buy them, actually, individually, if you want to, for £7.99 or €9.99 in Europe. So that's just a quickie there for the Vita owners. However, I want to return to a subject that haunted us a good few months back, actually, and was the subject of many a discussion. Dungeon Keeper! The EA free-to-play version that got quite heavily derided when it came out by, well, me a lot, and anyone who got into contact with it, basically. We were all quite looking forward to seeing what EA would do with it. It's a classic franchise that existed way, way, way back on the PC, an original Mythic Entertainment game, I think it was. And they released a version of it which was free-to-play. Very, very, very free-to-play. And was full of wait timers as long as your arm, if your arm was 48 hours long.
And made of wait timers.
Yeah, and everyone was very disappointed, and it kind of provoked a lot of outcry. It was a bit of a tipping point for people with, oh god, this free-to-play thing, you're just taking this way too far now, because it ruined the progress and you couldn't get anywhere and it was kind of outrageous. Now, the franchise is slightly in hot water again. Apparently an advert for the free-to-play version of the game has now been banned by the Advertising Standards Agency for being misleading. Apparently, there was a complaint issued by somebody saying that EA was offering the game for free, which obviously you initially can download it for free, but if there is packed to the brim with IAPs, you are obliged to mention that somewhere in your in your blurb. Apparently, though, the only mention of any cost whatsoever was a footnote in the ad saying, quote, wireless fees may apply. That's it.
That's naughty, isn't it?
Which is a little bit on the rude side. So the standards agency turned around and said the ad was misleading because it omitted significant information. Information like game's a bit rubbish, I would say, argue. That's a fairly big omission. But also, if you don't say stuff like that, the standards agency are there for a reason and they need to make sure that basically kids or parents aren't going in and buying loads and loads of crap unawares. There was a lot of fuss a while back about Apple having to refund a lot of payments to people, mostly because their kids went in and played Candy Crush Saga and got their parents' passwords and started buying thousands of pounds worth of junk.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to refund it. Now, whenever they do these kind of complaints and whenever people start talking about misleading advertising or messages, the conversation then turns to where does the responsibility lie? Whether it lies with the parents to teach people how to use their devices and not maybe give their kids their passwords, or whether they are being manipulated unfairly by stuff. In terms of this advert, like, I think this is fair play to say call bullshit on this. Yeah,
I don't know, I haven't seen the advert. Has anyone seen the advert?
I saw it. It's up on YouTube somewhere, but they're now no longer allowed to use it anywhere. It's been properly actually banned.
There's a lot of Clash of Clans adverts at the moment on English British television. I don't think they say anything about in-app purchases in them.
I think, isn't it specifically, and I'm a bit fuzzy on the details, isn't it specifically that Dungeon Keeper says that it's free to play, whereas adverts for Stuff by King is like free to download? I think that might be the difference. Like, they aren't saying that it's free to play all of the time.
I also think they're not even saying it's free to play, they're saying it's free. Full stop.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the problem, because it's not free. It's free to play initially, and then, or free to download, and then costs may be incurred. But saying it's just free suggests you never pay anything. And I think that may be where they put themselves in hot water. Either way, EA has been scolded slightly and has been told that it must ensure all future ads made clear the limitations of free gameplay and role of in-app purchasing with regard to speeding up gameplay. This was mentioned by Chris, one of our news guys, and it does come in the same week as EA CEO Andrew Wilson referred to Dungeon Keeper as a shame and saying that they had misjudged the economy.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. I actually, as the free-to-play stalwart, or at least one of them, certainly at Pocket Gamer and AppSpy, I thought to myself, it can't be that bad. So the other day I actually downloaded it and played it.
Oh, really?
That game is utter shit. Isn't it? Like, yeah. it is rubbish.
I had to download it. I downloaded it and played it for a big old hands-on at one point, and it was one of those horrible dawning realizations where you play it for a bit and go, yeah, I remember this, sort of, and it's a bit different, and you click the loading timer for your first block and it goes like 10 seconds, and you're like, yeah, all right, fine, and then in about 8 blocks time it's like 24 hours, go home, and you're like,
I'm somebody who actually really likes Farmville. I think it's a fun game. Like, and I don't mind any of that wait timer stuff, but, like, it was aggressive. It was so aggressive. And also, like, one of the lines in it is really distasteful, like, where it says something like, you can also speed up the progress using gems. Some people think this payment method is controversial, but there we are. And it's like the devil saying it, and you're like,
yeah.
Just because your, like, tongue's firmly in your cheek doesn't make you any less of a, like, bell end for doing it. I know I'm being a bit naughty and rude, like, and stuff, but I really do feel like that it was such a bad example of free to play, and there are so many good free to play games out there that Dungeon Keeper gives the whole thing a bad name.
Yeah, we get a lot of complaints. One of the most, you know, controversial topics in the entire industry is free to play stuff, and the reason people get so upset about it is because of games like that. it kind of spoils it for everyone else who's trying to do something decent. Having said that, I mean, there's not a huge list of free-to-play games that I do genuinely like. I mean, we quite liked Trials Fusion. You quite liked it as well, Harry, didn't you?
Yeah.
I think you do hit a wall in that eventually, though. Peter, you played it for a bit, a good 10, 12 hours in or something, and then you said you did kind of hit a bit of a ceiling.
Mm.
So, I mean...
12 hours is more than you get in a Call of Duty single-player campaign.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that does put it into perspective. And we were talking about this on the stream yesterday, actually, with Civ Revolution, which we're going to be talking about in a little bit, and the price of games, where, on the one hand, people complain about games being free-to-play and say they're ruining the industry. Then someone does release a premium game and charges, like, £5 or £10 for it, and they go, well, I'm not paying that! And so you're like, well, what do you want? You can't decry one and then decry the other at the same time. It doesn't make any sense. So I understand why developers might be a bit confused. However, if you're going to do it, don't do it like this. Don't do it like EA did Dungeon Keeper. Especially don't do it to a game that people already love. Because you're going to get nothing but 8. It's still available to download, by the way, for free. If anyone wants it. Yeah. Knock yourself out, guys. On to slightly more fun news. Hey, this is quite cool and made me smile. So they're bringing Blood Bowl to iPad tablets and Android tablets as well.
Ooh.
That's quite cool. I totally played Blood Bowl back in the day.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if anyone else... You do Warhammer stuff, Harry. Did you go anywhere near Blood Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Let me get this straight. This is the NFL... sort of with orcs and goblins, isn't it?
It's American football with like a big spiky ball and a sledgehammer, really.
Ah, right.
So it's a violent version of it. You think Speedball is a futuristic, that Speedball and Speedball 2, the game back on the Amiga that was absolutely awesome, a futuristic violent version of American football. This is the fantasy tabletop version of that. So it was all turn-based stuff, and you moved your teams, your orcs, and your skaven, and your whatever. And you had to get the ball up, and you got to do mad attacks and rushes and all this kind of stuff. And it was fun. It was back in 1987. It is coming to iPad and Android tablets in early July. And
okay.
We're in July, aren't we? That's now. Where is it? Holy crap. Oh, no, it's not out yet. But it is apparently coming, like, dead soon. It's developed by Cyanide. And they've brought it to consoles, PC, and the DS and the PSP. So it's already come to a whole bunch of platforms.
It's been out once.
Yes.
And that was called Blood Bowl on the PCs and the consoles and DS.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's come into iOS, but it's not that Blood Bowl.
Oh, it's not?
It's actually Blood Bowl 2, which is coming out for consoles and other stuff. But they're not calling it Blood Bowl 2 on mobile because Blood Bowl 1 never came out on mobile.
Wait. Good. We're having a Final Fantasy situation here, aren't we?
Is Tidus in this one?
Yeah, is it 3 or 6? I don't know.
It's 9.
Oh, okay.
So apparently you'll get a single-player campaign that'll lead up to the Blood Bowl. You get a single-player option if you want to do a quick play. And of course, there is actually going to be multiplayer in it, which lets you do hot seat mode on the same tablet so you can pass and play with a friend, which I think would be great because that would bring back all the nostalgia and warm feelings of playing it for reals on a table. But if you don't have any mates nearby, you can also do the online matches against iPad, Android tablets, and the PC version as well. I don't know, does that mean it's properly cross-platform multiplayer as well? Or whether that'll just be Android against Android, iOS against iOS? We don't know, again, a specific release date, but we know, I guess, it's going to be in a week or two. So keep your eyes on the skies for that one. And you can also go and have a look at information on the website itself. Check out the story that's on PG UK, and you can click through and see the official site.
Hopefully, they'll score a touchdown with this release.
That, yes.
Get out.
That was the clang of failure. And about this week, we can finally talk about it. Monster Hunter Freedom Unite is available for iPhone and iPad. If you're not familiar with this particular version of it, this was actually released on PSP way back, I'm going to say 2009, 2010 or something, and has now been rejigged for your mobile devices. I actually played this and reviewed this back on my first ever writing job. When I was working for ReadyUp, a blog which you can go and check out. It was the PSP version, and I bloody hated it. Not because of the game particularly, but because of the controls. It handled horribly on PSP with that little nub, and you couldn't turn around the screen at all. It was basically a camera issue, where you could never see where you are. And you have to constantly do dodges and rolls and stuff in order to get out of the way, and you just didn't know where anything was, so you just got completely killed all the time. You've gone hands-on with this, which you did over at E3, didn't you, Peter?
Yes, and when they flew me out to Los Angeles.
Yes, well, they didn't, did they? That wasn't a jolly, was it? That was an actual E3 thing.
That was an actual thing
that
to
we
do.
Paid for with our own pocket money.
Yeah.
And you stayed in a terrible hostel.
And I nearly got murdered in a 7-Eleven
because of America. But
gang warfare, guys.
You did manage to survive long enough to actually get your hands on it. And this, in fact, is a little bit of a look at it. How did you find it?
I found it very good. It was... So it's Monster Hunter Freedom Unite for the PSP, but transferred onto a touchscreen, which it works as well as you think it might work, and maybe even a little bit better. So it looks better than the original.
It does look a little bit better, yeah.
It is, like, much sharper. The textures are, I think, slightly more high-res. Mm-hmm. The most notable improvement I found, and did you review it, Harry? I think you did, didn't you?
Yes, you can check out my review on pocketgamer.co.uk right now.
Nice, we're in sync. I feel hashtag engaged. I think the coolest thing about it is that it just gets rid of all of the load times, or most of them, and that's a really, really big deal.
Yeah.
And the other really cool thing with it, and I tried it out, I think I tried it out at E3, yeah, I seem to remember doing that, is that it's got MiFi controller support. So you can play it with a dual stick controller if you want to.
Like this one.
So go on, I was going to say, that sounds great. I quite want to play it like that.
Yeah.
It really is. On the Pocket Gamer review, it got a 9 out of 10. Ooh. And I said, if you've got an MFI controller with twin sticks, then it is a 10 out of 10.
Wow. Whoa.
It's worth it. Like, it's not worth spending 100 quid to get a tiny controller for your iPhone just to play the game. But if you have a tiny controller for your iPhone/iPad, then it makes it that much better.
Well, I do remember just from playing it by myself and getting into a few multiplayer skirmishes over Wi-Fi at the time. I had to find someone else with a PSP and huddle in the same room to do it. That's not a problem this time, because you can do it over Game Center, can't you? A bunch of you can get together, up to 4 people, I think.
Up to 4.
Which is precisely what we're going to do on Friday. As you listen to this on the podcast, this will have already happened, unfortunately, or be about to happen, one of the two. But we're going to try out some multiplayer stuff on Twitch tomorrow with Monster Hunter, both myself and Peter and possibly Rob, and I don't know, Harry, if you're around, or basically anyone who's about. We'll do a bit of monster huntering. We'll get together, we'll approach a guild, and we'll form a little room, and we'll go and kill some monsters. However, playing it a little bit, as I did today, just as a prep, reminded me the other reason I didn't like the game, beyond the controls, was it makes me feel like a jerk. The moment I run out the door, and there's a monster, there's a cute monstery thing, a little shambling along beastie, minding his own business, and I run up to him, and I start hacking his head off. And I just feel bad. It's like,
don't do that then, just attack the ones that attack you.
But then you don't progress as fast and get as many pelts and herbs and all that stuff.
You get herbs from the ground. I don't know what herbs you're getting from dead monsters.
Well, I extract them out of the bellies of cow beasts who have already eaten them.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Know.
I think maybe that's just real life for you.
Possibly. Well, I mean, the velociraptors, they deserve a kicking, obviously. Fair play to them. But you know, there are some other beasties. I just think, I feel a little bit bad just going around slaughtering loads of animals. It made me feel a bit like those gallery shooters that they have, where you're just like shooting, I don't know, elk and stuff. I feel like a bit, oh. But if you don't mind all those moral conundrums, I think the word is, and I probably used it in the other review, it is deep. It goes deep. You can lose days, weeks into this thing, can't you?
You know, hundreds and hundreds of hours of progress is not uncommon in this game. This is one of those titles where PSP players would, like, have it on them all of the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, if you happen to know that other people are playing it around you, you would jump into it. Like Capcom, at one point, and this was right at the start of my games criticism career, actually. Capcom sent me an email saying that they'd set up like a dedicated weekly or monthly meetup where people could meet in London and
I went to the opening of that event and that room. They'd hired a 3-level building and they'd rented it out for like 3 months. And literally, yeah. you went into there, and there were beanbags everywhere, and everyone yeah. came in with their PSPs, wherever they came from, didn't matter, go in, sit down, and they all played Monster Hunter. I literally went to the opening of that event.
And, like, that's what it's about, really. Like, if you're going to play the single player, you might have a bit of a rubbish time of it. Because, you know, if you think grinding in free-to-play games is high, like this is a different level.
Yeah,
but
this
like,
is mad grind.
With, like, four players, it's, like, some of the really, really hard quests in single player are, like, a complete breeze. So, there is that. The one thing that I do think is slightly troubling is that there's no, like, cloud saving for your saves. So, if you delete the app, you delete all progress.
Oh.
Yeah.
There is a thing for importing characters on
there
it.
There is, and I don't know why
Wait,
it's there.
It? I don't... right.
I haven't even got that far. I've just knocked my character together and started questing, but probably worth looking into. It comes at a price, all of this depth and wonder, though. It's £10.49, or $14.99, which, again, as with Civ Rev, which we'll talk about, equates to, I suppose, the price of a full series of The Walking Dead. So it's not unheard of to charge that price for a game. And then you've got things like XCOM, which are like £12.99 or about $19 or $18. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's pricey. But bear in mind, when it was released on the PSP, it cost £30 or £35. So it's a good deal cheaper than that. And it is an enhanced, improved version. And in terms of hours of gameplay, if you're looking for time value, you can get, like I say, lost in this forever. There's an immense amount of game to get involved with. So you could consider £10 a steal for something like this. It's Monster Hunter Freedom Unite, iPhone and iPad compatible. You can get it right now. The other big one that came out, Civilization Revolution 2. Peter's face lights up like a Christmas bauble. This came out as well. Also has been reviewed. Who did it this
Brown.
Time? Mark Brown did it this time. Mark of the Browns did it. Gave it a bronze award. It's also £10.49, $14.99. And it is a streamlined version of the PC, or if you choose to look at it, a sequel to the 2009 iPhone version that came out that wasn't great, but was okay, I suppose. Peter, I suppose you're Captain Civ, where this is concerned. You like Civ, don't you?
Yes, I do. I think Civilization is a really oddly approachable strategy series for a game in a genre that is often seen like as completely impenetrable, and this is a very approachable version of Civilization. And Civilization Revolution 2 is cool because it actually feels much closer to Civ, like true Civilization on PC,
gotcha.
Than Civilization Revolution 1 on iPhone and iPad, which, if you want to feel old, came out in 2008.
Oh, don't. Yeah, it was back around the genesis of the iPhone, I suppose, wasn't it? And to be fair, at that time, they hadn't quite mastered things like the touchscreen controls and how they would work on games, and it was the early doors. And as anyone who buys a new console knows, those early games, they're not necessarily the best. This is, because I mean, I played it yesterday on the stream, we had a little go at it, and you've played it as well. It's a, I suppose, fast-paced version of it. Because you can choose, rather than leading massive campaigns, which I think you probably can do, but there are lots of options for doing scenarios. So you can basically dive straight into a scenario where you already have access to all the high-level equipment that would take you ages and ages and ages to earn, or, you know, you'd have to research it and your culture would have to improve and all that crap in order for you to get it. Here you can dive straight in and basically you got, for example, you got tanks from the off on some of them, which you'd have to take ages to earn. And then you're given like little mini tasks, mini quests, aren't you, to conquer a small area of land or something like that. Even saying that, they still go on for quite a while, so it's not something you can pick up and play for 5 minutes. A mini quest is still, I don't know, a good 40 minutes of your time or something, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Like, a huge amount.
So it requires a little bit of investment. You can't just pick it up and play in the queue to the waiting for the bus or something.
If it's a toilet game for you, then get ready for some warm porcelain,
and some
basically.
No feeling in your legs. No, yeah.
I hate it when that happens.
Mark's described it as like you do lose some of the drama of the epic scale of the PC version. So as he's described it, you get this historical splendor with the PC version, whereas this feels like more like a sort of medieval fair in a local park, is how he described it. Everything is there, but it's on a much smaller sort of scale. The issues I had with it, touchscreen controls, a lot of the menu selection is fine. I suppose you have to get used to it, but if you want to swap between your troops, you have to press a troop and hold and wait for it to select the troop, and then you can start pointing him and, you know, double clicking to move to directions. Yeah. I automatically instinctively touch a troop and expect it to select it. And then what I ended up doing was moving a pre-selected troop to that guy's location, and they all just stood on each other's heads. But having said that, Mark still liked it overall, describing it as if it's your first dose, it's probably something exciting for you. If you are a hardcore Civ player, you might feel a little bit limited by it. But Alex, we just put our video review live on AppSpy. I think he liked it a little bit more. He's also a Civ fan, and he found it, despite the limitations and the fact that it has been pared back, it is a bit Civ light. It was still good fun, and there was enough depth there to keep you interested and keep you involved. Do you think, as a Civ player, Peter, you'll play this more than just beyond review and beyond hands-on? Is this something you want to continue playing, or would you rather do the full Civ experience on PC?
I would rather do it on PC.
Yeah.
Simply because I feel like the interface is just a little bit better on PC, and like I like to move quickly with Civ, so mm-hmm. like a mouse is just a bit quicker for me. However, like if I was playing it on an iPad, like definitely it's one of those cool sort of like I'm going to chill out on a Sunday afternoon, it's raining outside, and I'm going to conquer the world as Mahatma Gandhi, and that is quite enjoyable. So I don't think I'll personally play it, but then that's mainly because I mean, guys, we play so many games all of the time. We haven't got time to play all of these games. Like, it has to be so incredible for us to even consider
doing it on our own personal time. Did you do Civ, Harry? Have you been into the deep strategy, or is it not your thing?
No, boring. Don't care.
Boring. You're taking over the world. What's more exciting about than that?
I don't know. I think I'd rather read a book.
Read.
Yeah. It's new. Check it out.
Yeah, it is. They've got these Kindles. They're made of really weird paper where it keeps changing when you click a button. It's mad. I'm slightly with you, Harry, on the strategy side. It's never been my thing. Mostly it's that Napoleon complex. I don't really care. Like if I play games, I like to be the person doing the fighting rather than the guy, the general, sitting on the mountain with the glasses on sale, like going, "Forward, my boys, forward." And then not actually doing anything myself. I don't have that. Whereas some people, and a lot of my friends, a mate of mine particularly, has the god complex. And that's how I see it. It's people with god complexes. Yeah. They like to sit on the mountaintop and point while other people do things. So for me, I don't know. It feels a bit impersonal. But obviously, what do we know? Civilization being like one of the biggest franchises ever. So if you do fancy a taste of it, albeit a sort of light, bite-sized diet version of it, you can get it right now. iPhone and iPad? Does it work on iPhone too? It does, doesn't it? Or is it just iPad? Don't know. I don't want to say it now. iPhone as well. Good. All right.
Yeah.
So it's again expensive. £10.49 or $14.99. But there is plenty there to keep you going if you don't mind the fact that it's a bit on the mellow and light side. So you can grab that right now if you choose. Also out at the moment, Buzz Killem. Now, didn't this come out a while back?
No.
Is it something different?
I did exactly the same thing. I emailed the PR to get a code for it, and I called it the wrong name.
Okay.
There was one that came out called Bill Killem.
Oh. And this,
which is like an auto-runner platform. But in Buzz Killem, you play his dad.
Oh. Oh, right. So it is Lynx, then. It is the same.
Christ.
Oh,
yeah, no,
it's
bike.
The same developer. It's the same universe, I think.
Okay.
It's really good.
Really?
Is it, though?
Yeah.
Because it's Bill Killem, or whatever the flipping heck it was called, was naff.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit junk.
I did not play that one.
Okay.
So I cannot form a word-based opinion on it, but I will bow to your superior knowledge. But no, Buzz Killem is like sort of super crate boxy.
Okay.
But bigger. So the arenas are more than a screen, but they're still quite small. They're still walled off.
Right.
And you play the man who's Buzz Killem, and you just run around and shoot stuff, and you've got like challenges to complete. So you'll have like a set of three challenges, and you complete them, and you get three more challenges. But then you pick, there's like random weapon crates like that you pick up and get new guns and stuff. So it's just a really, really fun side on arcade arena blaster.
Okay. Well, it's available for £1.49 or $1.99. You can see the trailer up on the site, and I imagine maybe who have you doled that review out to? Is it going to be done?
That's me tomorrow morning, cool. Which will be today morning. Yes. So it's up now, but it's not up now.
Oh no, time paradoxes.
Yeah, I hate all that stuff. Nightmare. Okay, well, you'll be able to get that now as you listen to the podcast. Also, I'm going to talk about this, even though it's not technically out everywhere. It's been released in Ireland, and I bring it up because of the people who made it, really. And having played it, it makes total sense. So, Midnight Star. It's a first-person quasi-gallery shooter thing from Bungie. Well, no, not from Bungie. From one of the guys who founded Bungie. You can get it on soft launch if you're in Ireland. The rest of the world has to wait. I've never seen an Irish soft launch game before. Usually they throw it in New Zealand or Canada or something like that. But, like, I played this on the stream yesterday, and it sort of makes sense because the visuals, the rocky outcrops and the sort of neon glowing aliens and everything being quite low to the ground, it all felt very Halo to me. And it is quite Halo. And then when I read that it was a co-founder of Bungie, you were like, ah, there you go. The difference is, though, instead of you being able to wander around and control the character like a twin stick shooter or something like that, you're sort of on rails. The character moves around of his own accord. He then stops at a place. You then get onset by a whole bunch of alien beasties, and you have to tap on the screen where they are to shoot them. You can change weapons by swiping the weapon thing in the corner, and you can sort of look around by tapping icons on the left and right of the screen. So you'll kind of move a pivot on the spot, if you like, so you can shift to the left and shift to the right. I am not sure about it. I started playing it and I wasn't all that impressed. The graphics were a bit ropey. The shooting mechanics are a bit off. You had to reload every, like, 3 seconds, which I found really aggravating after a while. It didn't feel great, to be honest with you. I'm surprised the people involved with it, being ex-Bungie, the visual style makes sense, but the quality doesn't seem to tally up with that of Halo. At least not at the moment.
It's a bit rail shooter, isn't it? It's a bit rail shooter where you've got a bit of control, but not as much control as you would like.
So it's the drowning in space.
No. Right.
Not as bad as that.
The drowning is a piece of garbage, and, like, this is actually on the way to being playable.
Yeah,
right, like, so it's like it's on the turn. It's not. you'd eat it, but you'd probably feel bad tomorrow morning.
The sell-by date was yesterday, yeah, so you're chancing it.
Yeah.
However, we should state that it isn't finished yet. It's a soft launch, and that means it's not completed. So it may well be polished up and look great by the time it gets officially launched. But if you happen to be in Ireland, you can download it right now. I think it's free to play. I'm pretty sure it is, right? So, you can go and give that a look now if you want to. Out for everyone, though, Cargo King, which is a free-to-play physics-based crate stacking challenge. I suppose in the idea of that, what's that DS game which is all about stacking stuff on top of other stuff?
It was a
bloody balancy thing.
Come back to me.
There's a big grippy arm thing which is lowering crates down. You have to move it into position, drop the crate, and the higher you get and the more you do, the better it is. You get coins and all that. It's a free-to-play thing. You can buy in-game coins if you want to, and I assume you'll spend that on little power-ups, I guess. That's what you usually have to do. You get bonus coins for perfect placement, speed, and matching 3 crates with the same symbol on it. Chris has played this one. He reckons he's very pleased with his score. Apparently the record is 90 crates for him, so everyone try and beat that if you do download it. And he didn't purchase any hearts to reach it, he clearly states. I think he's quite proud of this, actually, by the look of it.
Well, he's quite young.
Yeah, that's true.
Fun fact about Chris Priestman, he is actually 12 years old.
It's true.
That doesn't surprise me, judging by his little
but he has been for about 10 years.
Yeah,
like Bart Simpson, who's been locked in a time vortex.
Oh man, that's really bad.
It is. But either way, he's had enough time to play this and get 90 crates. If you think you can do better, then you can go ahead and download it right now. It's free in both the US and the UK app stores. I did want to bring up, just before we go into the Throne of Games thing, this Final Fantasy Artnix dive.
Yeah,
what's this all about?
It's a free-to-play sort of RPG in the sense of, like, Final Fantasy 4-6, but I get the feeling it's more, like, battle-based than, like, wandering around. There's not so much overworld stuff. It's a sequel, I believe, to Final Fantasy Artnix.
Harry, do you know something?
I don't know. It just looks like all the bravest.
Oh, don't even. It,
oh, yeah. God.
It just looks like that. You've got a big thing on one side and you've got some little fellas on the other side, and then you just sit down and then put your iPad down, go make a cup of tea, come back and find out what's happened.
Yeah.
And what's happened is you're distraught that you bothered downloading this crap.
Okay. Well, it's not technically out yet. It's coming to Japan on iOS and Android this summer, which means it'll probably make its way over here at some point. They've bothered to give it a British title, so an English language title. So that means it will usually turn up here at some point. Apparently, there's going to be free to play and social elements. Obviously, it's a GREE thing, so you have to get registered all GREE and stuff. And even though it's not a CCG game, you can also collect cards. And I have to say, I agree with you about the Final Fantasy or the Bravest, because it looks like you've got the same like character replicated five times or something, and then you tap and they all go bit 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 and attack, and then you just tap again and they all go bit 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 bit
bit.
Yeah, and that was such a poor game.
Square Enix diluting the Final Fantasy brand one game at a time.
They put their time in on it. They do hard work. So I just wanted to mention it because I got it jumbled up in the mixture of my browser windows, but it bears worth mentioning because it's Final Fantasy, and I'm a bit sad now. I'm always sad that I mentioned it. But you can summon 100 different monsters. Yay, monsters!
It's being made by Gree.
Alright, enough said.
Come sit upon the throne of games. Usually
we do a bit of confab before stepping into the chamber, wherein lies the throne of games. But we haven't done it this time, so I'm just going to spring it on you at random, gents. Let's start with the Harry. I knew, right? Well, to be fair, you've been playing a bunch of games. So, of all those games, what have you been playing most, or enjoying most, or hating most this week?
I'm going to have to do Monster Hunter. I'm sorry.
Go on, then.
I don't want to steal that from anyone.
What is Monster Hunter?
Where did Monster Hunter go? My experience of Monster Hunter Freedom Unite for iOS, iPads, and iPhones is a good experience.
Yay.
Wow.
So there you go.
Excellent. Right.
I have enjoyed I've played it far too much, to be honest. I'm actually behind on my work because I have been playing Monster Hunter too much. I got a controller on Wednesday, a tiny iOS controller, which I'm now holding up. It's tiny and it makes me
look like it. Is it the Little Steel series or another one?
It's the Little Steel series.
I love
that
controller so much.
It's so good. It's such a nice controller. And I started playing as my computer was restarting for an update. And then 2 hours later, I was just sat in the dark with like my iPad on my knee, hunched over, like my spine fused together. But I think it is one of the best action-y RPG experiences you can have on iPhone or iPad. There are moments where you just kind of want to stand and move the camera around and take photos of things because you're like stood in this herd of mammoths and then there's a mountain behind you, but it's nighttime, so there's the aurora borealis, and then it's also it's comets, and you just kind of go, I don't really want to go kill anything, I'm just going to stay here and take various screenshots to use as the background for my iPad for the next few months.
It does inspire fanaticism like few other franchises. I hear a lot about Monster Hunter, and I hear it's one of those games you either get or don't. It's a bit Dark Souls-y in that way, in so much as some people just get it and they obsess over it, and other people are like, I honestly don't see what the big deal is. I didn't catch the bug playing it, but I think that on the PSP, but I think that was down to the control system. I haven't played the Wii version or this version that much yet. So
I think I played the demo version of the 3DS version, and that didn't do anything for me at all. I didn't have the circle pad extender either, so it was a bit, I didn't really know what was going on, and it's just the demo just dropped you in the middle of a fight and said go hit that, and I was like
so beyond the prettiness, what is it that has you playing for 2 hours? Is it the moorish nature of munching all the beasties? What's the thing that keeps you coming back
every time you finish a quest? There's something else that you think, oh, if I just have another quest, I'll be able to, I'll be able to get a better sword, I'll be able to get a better hat, I'll be able to get if I finish this quest, then it'll unlock the next set of quests, and then I'll be able to do something cool. Or it's just, I really enjoyed that last quest, and the next quest is, it's going to be in the same place, so I'll go do that as well. The quests are sort of small enough, they never last more than half an hour. And well, mm-hmm. if you're doing badly, they last more than half an hour. But you sort of, you just bounce through them. And it's like, I've done that one, so I'll go put all the crap that I've got into a box, or see if I can get that cat to make me a sword. Because there are cats in it, obviously.
There are walking, amazing. Talking
Sometimes
cats.
I like just getting knocked unconscious so that I can see the cats running and like with pushing a barrow with me in it, and then I fall out. I don't know exactly why it's bitten me quite so hard. I think it's got that compulsion loop that the best MMOs have. Mm. But you don't have to play it with 10,000 other jerks, which is always really nice.
That is good, that is good. Have you trialed the multiplayer mode yet, beyond just testing it with us?
I had a bash, but I haven't gone particularly deep in it, because I don't really like playing multiplayer with strangers, because I was always told that strangers were dangerous people who gave you sweets and put you in vans.
That's true.
Hold on, how can they be dangerous if they give you sweets, Harry?
I know. No one with a Calippo can be harmful in any way.
So I am looking forward to trying out properly with human beings.
Yes, which we'll hopefully be doing today as you listen on the podcast, or tomorrow if you're watching the Twitch stream. So get involved. Yeah. It'll be 5 in the evening, UK time, 9 a.m. Pacific, and midday Eastern Standard Time. We're going to go multiplayer monster huntering. And I'm like level nothing, so we're going to get completely gubbed by a ferret. But I'm going to do it anyway. Don't give a toss. That ferret, I'm going to get it in the end. Bloody hell, I will. All right, I'm going to talk briefly about Mountain, which is a game.
Wow.
Right, so, because I did boot this up again after the stream yesterday. Now, so, if you're not familiar with Mountain, it is a game in which you float in space, staring at a little island mountain thing, which is just kind of hovering. And you can move the camera around the mountain, or you're moving the mountain, I'm not sure which. And there are soft keys at the bottom of the screen, which you can't see, but if you start tapping the bottom of the screen, you hit musical notes. And there's two rows of musical notes that you can hit. And that's it. You look at the mountain and you hit the notes, and if you hit a lot of the notes, I found the mountain starts spinning a bit faster, and maybe it'll start raining. And then if you play some more notes, maybe it'll stop raining again, and then it might go to nighttime. And then you zoom out and you look at it in space and it looks small, and you zoom in and it gets big. And I don't know what it's all about, and I'm not sure I have the patience. And I usually like this arty-farty crap. I loved, not the Limbo super arty, but I liked Limbo a lot. I loved Journey on the PSN, and some people really took against that because they're like, it's not even a game. You just walk forward and stuff happens. And like the Journey is like Civ Rev in terms of like depth of game compared to this.
Oh yeah,
I do not understand what the game is. I think they're pushing it forward as an interactive audio visual experience. It's very like Islington, like trendy, and I feel slightly insulted by it. I gotta be honest, I was playing it on the Twitch stream and we kept going back to see if anything happened, and it proudly boasts that there are 10 hours of gameplay. And it's got a load of quotes on the App Store. If you go and look at it, it's got quotes saying beautiful from like 7 different outlets. I don't know if you read the reviews on those outlets, it's followed by the words, but pointless, or whether they actually think it's beautiful and amazing. But it does look quite good. I wouldn't even say the visuals are that amazing, though. I'll be honest with you. Like, you zoom in and the textures look kind of crap. Especially being as they're just rendering this one mountain. And I honestly, I cannot make head nor tail of it. I've got all the time in the world for weird. I will watch movies in which there's no dialogue, deliberately. Not silent movies either. Movies where no one talks 20 minutes. I think it's fantastic. This, though, I don't understand what it's for.
First point, right. True story. I once watched a movie for a full 25 minutes thinking that it was a silent movie until I figured out that my television was on mute.
So this game is for dullards like yourself.
The second thing is there an argument to be made that you don't get it?
Well, I believe I've made that argument that I don't get it and I don't understand it.
But as in, like, you don't get it, man, and therefore, like, it's not for you. Like,
yeah, I'm not necessarily saying it's crap. I'm saying I can't make head nor tail of it and I don't understand what it's for. It may be for something. Whatever that thing is, I don't understand it.
I can exclusively reveal right now on the Twitch stream that tomorrow I am starting a diary about this game.
Oh, whoa. Oh, this is going to follow your previous success with Peter Molyneux's Curiosity Diary.
Yes.
Amazing. Which, to be fair, yes, your diary about Curiosity was infinitely more interesting than Curiosity itself.
Yes, but then stabbing yourself in the hand with a fork was more interesting than Curiosity.
That is true. If you want to read what it is like to watch a video games journalist slowly coming apart at the seams, then I highly recommend you Google Curiosity on Curiosity Pocket Gamer, or Harry's name, because it's a cracking series of how many updates did you do in the end? You had to start a whole new article.
Because you broke the website,
you broke the website by writing too many words over a period of months.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many it was, too many. I think it was about, it lasted from September well into the next year,
It was epic. So go and read that. So you're going to start one about this mountain game.
About mountain, yes.
All right. Well, I feel like I'm going to enjoy that more than this game thing. You can download it right now. How much does it cost? I assume it costs money.
I think it's 69p.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right. 69p 99 cents if you want to have a look at it. Look at the videos to make sure that... Because don't go in thinking it's a game. It's a weird thing to say, but no, it feels like one of those, like an art installation or something, that you sit and you participate in loosely. You kind of absorb it, or you experience it, or something like wanky like that. So, Peter, then, what have you been playing most this week?
I'm going to talk about something that I played last week for review, which was Pokemon Art Academy.
Oh, wow. What's this, then?
So, Pokemon Art Academy is a game in which you learn how to draw Pokemon, basically, from the very beginning of, like, here's how to trace a line.
Really?
To colouring in the middle, and then, you know, everything from that to working with different types of palette and style and trying to get across different types of Pokemon image.
Yep.
In different forms. My review's on Pokegamer, if you would like to go and read it, and you will also be able to see some incredible drawings that I did to go with it. I should say that I am the worst artist in the world. I was told by my art teacher that I would make an amazing critic, which I think is the same sort of compliment as you've got a good voice for radio. Like, you know,
well done for turning up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, good effort. But it sort of vaguely helped me improve my art, which was quite good. And the thing that the way that it teaches you is it says, like, here's an outline. Okay, now draw the face of Squirtle. So Squirtle, you'll see his picture in on the top screen on the 3DS, and on the bottom screen you will have to draw, you know, the outline and that sort of thing. And it'll teach you, like, you know, this is the way that you construct a drawing. These are the original shapes that you need, and you work from these, and then you create an outline, and then you you will start to put in the finer details, and then colour, and then shading, and perspective, and all of these sorts of things.
Gotcha.
And that's fine, and it's good, and it's definitely aimed at a young, slightly younger audience, and definitely for Pokemon fans, poker fans, some might say. Poker maniacs.
What did he say it was called? Pokemon what?
Pokemon Art Academy.
Art.
And much like learning to type with Pokemon, or whatever the devil it was that it was called, I think it's only going to appeal to... It won't teach you to be better at art, like, massively. You still have to have, like, the inherent knowledge of how to draw and to have the motor skills adapted well enough to actually, you know, put stylus to screen. But for those that do, it will teach you the small details of how to draw a Pokemon. Like, for example, it says, like, when you're drawing, I think it was the little green starter Pokemon in Pokemon X. Might have been, I don't know, I'm going to call it Oshawott. In fact, it was Oshawott. It was the blue one, Oshawott.
Okay.
So it said, on Oshawott, when you draw the fangs, make sure that they're short, because when you draw short fangs, it looks cute, because it's part of a smile, but if you draw long fangs, then it looks scary. And it's like, it's just trying to, like, put all of these things it teaches you all of these small things about Pokemon, and it's almost like an exercise in like staying on message with the art. Like,
I thought you were going to say futility, but carry on.
But yeah, but like it teaches you that you have to replicate an art a style of cartoon. You have to stick with certain rules, and it that's actually a high level of concept when it comes to art. Like, here is a set way that you have to draw. Like the same way. To give it a better example, like if you were to write for Pocket Gamer or AppSpy or whatever it is, we have a house standard as to how we write.
It's a style bible. Yeah,
like a style bible, and writers that come on have to change the way that they write to stay more true to the voice of Pocket Gamer or AppSpy or 148 Apps or Android Rundown or wherever it is that they end up working.
So to honour the Pokemon voice, you have to adjust your art style.
That is exactly it, and it teaches you the basics of how that works, and it does it by using your 3DS. It's an interesting art package. It's not going to be for everybody, and it won't teach you how to be a good artist, but it will teach you those small nuances with Pokemon that I think some people who like Pokemon and like art will find fascinating.
Are any of these screenshots yours, by the way? I've been pulling up the screenshots and flicking through.
If you see the one... have you seen the one with the Pikachu? Have you seen the Pikachu one?
Yeah.
That's mine.
But which one? There's two Pikachus, one of which looks quite good with dots, and the other one which is probably yours. Really? Is this yours? I'm totally bringing it up now. God, yeah. Buffer site.
Yeah.
Is that it's got art? It's got an Art Academy thing in the corner, though. Is that yours?
Yeah. So when you can export the image to the SD card, and that was my attempt at a. But to be fair though, that was, and also, do you see the little pink one that's there as well?
Yeah, that's you too.
Yeah,
that was quite good.
That's a Clefairy or a Jigglypuff or something.
Yeah, that was quite good. I'm impressed with that one.
But to be fair, those two that you highlighted, I didn't trace them or anything.
Your Pikachu looks like a harlot. It's got like massive lippy that's bleeding onto its left cheek. It looks like it smeared its lipstick across its face. For podcast listeners, Peter has just looked downcast and is going to do a cry now. I'm sorry, Peter. I'll totally put it on the fridge.
Okay.
Along with your B+ that you got for home economics. It's all right. It's good. Look, it's good enough just to turn up. Okay. Sometimes
let's end the podcast.
All right, we'll end the podcast now on that slightly downbeat note. Thanks for watching us on Twitch and listening. As always, come back next time. We'll have much more of the lovely news, reviews, and everything you've come to expect. I've been James. It's Peter and Harry as well. Thanks, guys. Bye.
See ya. Bye.